Good morning, Chapel. Welcome to our annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration. We gather today in recognition of the life, legacy, and accomplishments of a man who unselfishly committed his life to service and the fight for equality for all. Our theme, Black Lives Matter. And I quote, "We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace with itself, a society that can live with its conscience, and that will be a day not of the white man, not of the black man, that will be the day of man as man." From Our God Is Marching On, speech given at the conclusion of the Selma to Montgomery March. We will be following the program as printed. We want you to please enjoy the celebration. Feel free to worship as you are comfortable. That might include a hallelujah, an amen, a hand clap, a praise the Lord, or it might just be a quiet meditation. But whatever it may be, please be at home in the presence of the Lord. At this time, we have with us our esteemed mayor of Harrisonburg, Virginia, Mr. Chris Jones. He will come to give us some reflections. Following that, we will have our invocation by Reverend Brian Burkholder, our university pastor, followed by a selection by the gospel choir. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Chapel.
Good morning.
So good to be here with you all on this fine, warm day. That's a good joke. See, that was easy. Oh, man. No, so seriously, though, thank you for allowing me to stand before you on behalf of the city of Harrisonburg and just as a man in America on this MLK Day. This is a great day to celebrate diversity, to celebrate life, to celebrate the interconnectivity that we all have as human beings. I believe that Dr. King would be very pleased that we are all here together today. And not so much just to celebrate him, obviously, because I believe that his mission, as is most of the students in this body, is to celebrate the life of Christ, but the idea that we can actually do that together, and that we can have life together, and that we can do life together, and that we can progress together, keyword being together. I do find your theme to be very attractive in lieu of the most recent events of 2015, because there definitely seemed to be an attack and question about black lives in our country and the relationship that black lives have in this nation, especially young lives. And so I have an esteemed respect for you all for having that as a theme today. I think that takes a lot of courage and a lot of boldness. And so I wanted to acknowledge that and respect that. And I appreciate that you all are having that conversation. And I hope that that conversation can transcend through our city on many different levels. Again, I'm Christopher Jones, mayor of Harrisonburg. I extend, again, greetings from the city of Harrisonburg. If there's anything that I can do for you on a personal, professional level, and if it doesn't fall under my mayor hat, I'm also president of the NAACP here in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. I strongly encourage any of you to participate with us. We would love to see more students involved in that, and I believe that it will be a great way to connect our EMU family with our JMU family, because there's a very vibrant and active NAACP branch at our James Madison University campus. When I was a student 47 years ago, I was allowed to be a part of that chapter as well. In fact, tonight there'll be a formal program there and be able to participate in that. There's a program happening tonight at Bridgewater at 7 o'clock. And so it just warms my heart to see that so many activities are being that are happening here in Harrisonburg and in greater Rockingham County. Again, thank you so much for having me here. You're in for a treat. I was able to hear the good Reverend Dr. Bishop Parsons. Last night, we keep adding titles. He added one last night, so today he's going to be Reverend Dr. Bishop. But he is a treat, and so I'm looking forward to hearing him again. I'll probably have to step out because there's just a day full of activity, so please forgive me if you see me walking out. And I look forward to coming back and sharing with you guys again. So you guys let me know when there's a good opportunity to come. I've been able to come over to some of the graduate school programs, actually. Carl Stauffer and Carolyn Stauffer, I've been over to visit with them several times in their classrooms and to Center for Criminal Justice and Peace Building, right? So we were able to participate with them several times. So I love to participate in the things that you guys have going on, all right? So please invite me and I'll be sure to show up, all right? You guys take care. Have a great day.
Hear this call to prayer, call to worship and then prayer. We worship the God who inhabits our world and indwells our lives. We need not look up to find God. We need only look around. Within ourselves, beyond ourselves, into the eyes of another. We need not listen for a distant thunder to find God. We need only to listen to the music of life. The words of children, the questions of the curious, the rhythm of the heartbeat. We worship the God who inhabits our world, the one who indwells our lives. Let's pray. We turn to you, O God, as we seek through prayer to find meaning in this life. Sometimes it's a fervent prayer in the midst of crisis. But more often it's a fleeting prayer on the way from here to there. We pray for focus amidst the many demands on our lives, for patience to endure situations that frustrate. We pray that you will awaken us to hear the cries of the poor, the homeless, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the marginalized, the invisible. Help us to redirect more of our resources to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and lift up the lowly. Mold us this day and beyond, O God, and open our hearts and minds to be willing vessels of your Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Oh,
is indeed wonderful. President Schwarzengruber has been the president of EMU since 2003 and plans to retire in June of this year.
No.
Exactly. Stay. Stay. He is one of the most down-to-earth persons that I have had the opportunity to meet and to sit with. I have sat with him in some tough meetings, dealing with some difficult issues, and the thing that comes across and resounds most with me is his deep, genuine concern for the welfare of others. At this time, welcome our president for reflections.
The final 4 years of Martin Luther King Jr.'s all too short life coincided with my years in high school. His untimely death on April 4, 1968, when he was just 39 years old, was very much on our minds when we graduated less than 2 months later. The most indelible memory of our commencement service was linking arms with Betty Powell, an African-American classmate from Chicago, to sing "We Shall Overcome." Now, I know it's totally impossible to believe now, but that was a rather radical move for a Southeast rural Iowa community in those days. I'm sure our parents wondered what had happened to us. By the way, if you think it's cold here, you ain't seen nothing. Someone once said that if you're not a liberal in your youth, you may not have a heart. If you're not conservative in your later years, you may not have a head. I disagree. Some might say that I don't have a head, but politically, I'll always be a liberal. Some would blame that on the fact that I'm a child of the 60s. That surely was a major influence, but it's much more nuanced than that. I'm a political liberal because I cannot reconcile most conservative political positions with what I read in the New Testament as a follower of Jesus. And I have a very difficult time imagining Jesus as a political conservative in our day. Martin Luther King is best remembered, as well he should be, for his radical call to racial equality. But he was also opposed to the war in Vietnam, and he advocated for economic justice. And all of his commitments were rooted in his first commitment as a follower of Jesus and as a minister of the gospel. One of the most moving experiences of the past year for me was to see, and I suspect it was for many of us, to see and hear President Obama on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of the March on Selma. We can only wish that Martin Luther King would have had the joy of marching with him at the old age of 86. Had that been possible, I think he would have had two conflicting thoughts. I can't believe that I'm marching with the first African-American president of the United States. I can't believe that we still have so far to go for equality, for voters' rights, economic parity, and true shalom.
I invite you to stand and join our voices. If you want the song in the book, it's 579 in the blue book. The lyrics will be right up here as well. Lift every voice and sing.
Yeah.
this time we have an opportunity for some spoken word. It will be brought to us by Ezriana L. Prelo, who is a very multi-talented young lady, and I am tapping into new talent, and she comes shy but comes ready and prepared, and we will have a treat. Followed that, we will have our scripture by Christian Parks, co-chair of the MLK committee, and a selection by the gospel choir. Amen?
It is a shame that everyone complains about Big Brother watching, for if we didn't behave like children, we wouldn't require supervision. Should only thoughtful decisions be made when someone's looking on? It is the least we can do to monitor till dusk till dawn. There's a proverb about a tree falling and nobody hearing it. What's happening in the news tells us that we probably won't believe it. And even if we did, it's out of sight, out of mind. Not my problem. Why are they whining? Grow a new tree. At most, people may discuss the quality of the tree, the life it had, whether it deserved to fall, the rings of growth, whether it had any at all. Its branches were too thick, its bark somewhat rough, its roots entangled on the surface. Was it a tree destined for the ground? Did somebody wrongfully knock it down? It's only one tree. If only someone had seen it crash into the earth, if only someone had felt its weight resonate into the soil, maybe then we would understand the recent turmoil. But instead, we polarize all of the elements, reducing a life to only an instant. Nothing is ever as black and white as we desire to make it. Violence should never beget more violence. A baby must never be shaken, but maybe extremes are the only way to elevate the tree's impression. Perhaps the reasons behind its demise require more than a heavy sentence. The world took to the streets to help a fallen tree be heard, representing all of the silenced trees in the woods. As with any tree, its life may not have been perfect, but had it been a different tree, fallen in a different forest, rest assured, the world would have heard it.
Hear this word from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was with the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the back of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses thought, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned up. And when Jehovah saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and saying, Moses, Moses! And he said, here I am. And he said, do not approach here. Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Jehovah said, I have given attention to see the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I have acknowledged their pain. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land to a good and broad land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. There it is. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Reverend Derek Parson is presently the pastor of Providence United Methodist Church in Richmond, Virginia. He is a full elder in the United Methodist Church. He also serves as Director of Ministries with Young People for the United Methodist Virginia Conference. Reverend Parson earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in Theology from St. Peter's College, Jersey City, New Jersey, a Master of Divinity and Master of Arts in Christian Education from Union Theology Seminary, Richmond, Virginia. When Reverend Parson was 6 years old, one of the senior women of the church shared with him and his mother that he had the mark of a preacher. This was his outer call on his life. He joined the United States Marine Corps at age 20, and at that, part of his journey was tough. Instructional, yet it gave him a wonderful time to own his leadership and people skills. He served 2nd Battalion, 6th Marines in Camp Lejeune, Maryland, North Carolina. 2 years later, he had the privilege of serving embassy duty. American Embassy, Bonn, Germany for 18 months, and Bamako, Mali, West Africa for 18 months. Shortly thereafter, his unit geared up for the war. His unit went in for the aftermath of the Gulf War. Iraq, of all places, is where he received the inner call. This is where God spoke to him, and he heard for himself. God told him that he would not re-enlist. However, he would preach and teach his word and draw his people to him. He said, "Yes, Lord." Reverend Parson is married to Natalia Bradshaw, Bahama Mama, and after 7 years of marriage, God blessed them with a beautiful boy, Josiah Evan Chandler Parson. He is indeed an answer to his 7-year prayer. Josiah turned 11 years old on August 27, 2015. During those wonderful years of being newly married and a brand new dad, he went through the complete process of the Board of Ordained Ministry of the Virginia Conference. This has been one of the greatest decisions he has made, and only looks back fondly on his process in the United Methodist Church and embraces it as a good and necessary part of his journey.
For our sermonic hymn, we will be having a liturgical dance. From Heavenly Praise in Motion from First Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. We will be having an introduction of their piece by Camilla Washington. She is a deaconess at the church, and she is also an IT systems administrator at James Madison University. So she will set the stage for the piece. Their director is Courtney Washington, and I would like to thank all of my community members for coming out to EMU today. So thank you all very much. Camilla.
Good morning, chapel. So I need you all to do me a favor. I see a little sign over here. You young people over here, would you read that out loud together for me?
Our generation, our choice.
One more time.
Our generation, our choice.
Amen. Okay. And that's true. So we're going to have a piece for you that's based on that is also based around some words Martin Luther King Jr. shared with Spelman College. And I think it's very appropriate because he was talking to your generation. He was talking to young people. When he, based on the words in Isaiah 40 and 31, that said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So when he went to Spelman, his words to your generation were, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. And if you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. He said that to this generation because he knew there would be times when you'd face adversity. He knew there'd be times when you'd want to give up. And it's to encourage you that sometimes you can't move fast, but don't give up. Sometimes you can't move slow, but don't give up. Sometimes you may just have to inch forward. And so this song that these young ladies are going to minister to us is entitled "Greater Is Coming." And it talks about the olive that has to go through its three stages, the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And we know back in civil rights time, they were shaken and beaten, but it was to help them to press forward to where they needed to be. And had they not pressed forward, then we wouldn't be where we are today. But that does not mean that it's over. We all still have a responsibility to press forward, even at times where we may feel shaken or beaten. Those things are what we need to prepare us. And so I'll close by saying, for you to make this song personal, you have something that you're going through in your own life that's got you down and you feel like you're having hardship, just remember, greater is coming. If you are doing well, just remember, greater is coming. And if you're already doing great and you feel like you're in a season of greatness, then find a way to encourage someone else that greater is coming and that they need to continue to press and that all of these things are just to prepare you for your season. Amen? All right. Heavenly praise and motion.
An olive has to go through three stages for its oil to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you broke through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming.
If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making, no. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking.
blessing in the spirit, preparing me for greater.
Let's give them another big hand. I want to say thank you so much for inviting me to be here and to be a part of your Dr. King celebration. I want to thank the president, Celeste Thomas, the gospel choir. Thank you for blessing me. Amen. And Christian Parks, would you stand? I want to speak into your life. I believe that God has his hands on you and that God is going to do something great and wonderful. And whenever I'm with you, I can feel it. There's a kindred spirit between us. So God bless you. I want to thank God for the liturgical dancers. Let's give them another hand. And my sister for the spoken word, where are you? Is she here? Would you stand? That was incredible. Incredible. I want to start by sharing a speech with you, probably one of Dr. King's last speeches in the last part of his life. One day after finishing school, I was called to a little church down in Montgomery, Alabama. I started preaching there and things were going well in that church. It was a marvelous experience. But one day, a year later, a lady by the name of Rosa Parks decided that she wasn't going to take it any longer. She decided to stay in a bus seat. You may not remember it because it's way back now, several years, but it was the beginning of a movement where 50,000 black men and women refused absolutely to ride the city buses. And we walked together for 381 days. We sent out a cause, and no Negro rode the buses. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. The people of Montgomery asked me to serve as the spokesperson, as the president of the new organization, the Montgomery Improvement Association, that came into being to lead the boycott. I couldn't say no. Then we started our struggle together. Things were going well for the first few days, but then about 10 to 15 days later, When the white people of Montgomery knew that we meant business, they started doing some nasty things. They started making nasty telephone calls, came to the point that some days more than 40 telephone calls would come in, threatening the life of my family, the life of my children. I took it for a while in a strong manner, but I will never forget one night. It was very late. It was around midnight. And you can have some strange experiences at midnight. I had been out meeting with the steering committee all that night. I came home, my wife was in the bed, and I immediately crawled into bed to get some rest, try to get up in the morning and keep things going. And immediately the telephone started to ring. I picked it up. On the other end, it was an ugly voice. A voice that said to me in substance, "Nigger, we are tired of you and your mess now. And if you're not out of this town in 3 days, we're going to blow up your brains and blow up your house." Now, I've heard these things before, but for some reason it got to me. I tried to go back to bed and get some sleep, but I couldn't sleep. Frustrated, bewildered. Then I got up and went into the kitchen to warm a little coffee, thinking that coffee would give me a little relief. Started thinking about many things. Pulled back on the theology and the philosophy that I had just studied at the universities, thinking that philosophical and theological reasons for the existence of reality of sin and evil would bring comfort, but it didn't. I started thinking about a beautiful little daughter who had just been born about a month earlier. We have 4 children now, but we only had one then. She was the darling of my life. I would come in night after night and see that little gentle smile. Sat there at that table thinking about that little girl and the fact that she could be taken away from me. I could be taken away from her. I started thinking about a loyal, devoted wife who was over there asleep. She could be taken away from me. I can be taken away from her. Got to the point that I couldn't take it any longer. I was weak. Something said to me, "You can't call Daddy now. He's up in Atlanta, 175 miles away. You can't even call on Mama now. But you got to call on that something in that person that your daddy used to tell you about, that power that can make a way out of no way." I discovered that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. Oh, yes, and I said a prayer. I said a prayer out loud that night. I said, "Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause that we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess, I'm weak now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage." Seems at that moment, I can hear an inner voice saying to me, "Martin Luther, stand up for justice. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you, even unto the ends of the age." I tell you, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Still to fight on." He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Sometimes I feel discouraged. I don't mind telling you that sometimes I feel discouraged. I felt discouraged in Chicago. And as I move through Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama, I feel discouraged sometimes. Living every day under the threat of death, I feel discouraged sometimes. Living every day under extensive criticism, even from Negroes, I feel discouraged sometimes. Yes, sometimes I feel discouraged and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead that heals the sin-sick souls. What I want you to know is that Dr. King, at 6 years old, he walked into his father's study and he says, "Daddy, I had a dream." And his father said, "Son, tell me about your dream." He says, "God told me that I'm going to change the world." He said, "Son, how are you going to change the world?" "God told me to take my study serious, and he would reveal the next part of it to me." Dr. King went to school, met a lot of opposition, went to college at 15 years old, graduated with a PhD at 26 years old. He had an excellent memory. They said that when he taught for a year at Boston University, he was teaching philosophy, and they were looking at Socrates, and he told them to open up their books to a particular page and said, "Let's quote it together." And as they began to quote it, he was standing looking out the window. His book was on his desk, and he was quoting page after page after page. Dr. King understood something, a very simple principle, that God's hand was upon him and that God had destined him for a great work. We had 13 years of King's life, the Nobel Peace Prize, the I Have a Dream, 13 years. He traveled 6 million miles, spoke 2,500 times, trying to make a difference in the lives of other people. My friends, I'm encouraged by his life. When I was in high school, my guidance counselor told me to put down the application for the SATs. And I said, "Why?" She said, "You're not college material. Put it down. I work with a lot of people and you're not one of them. Just put it down." The sad part is I believed her. It wasn't until I went into the Marine Corps that the Marine Corps, they don't deal with negatives. You never say what you can't do. Amen? But sometimes we listen to voices. And those voices, even though they are negative voices, that voice becomes even greater than the voice of God in our lives. Am I being honest about it? "You'll never amount to anything. You can't do it." I want today for you to hear God's voice. I want today for each and every one of you to take your rightful place in history. So it's not the spoken word, my sister, but it's my offering. Amen? Take your rightful place. Even though no one believes in you, believe in yourself and all that you do. Take your rightful place. Don't wait for anyone's validation or approval, but take their words, such as "you can't" and "you won't." Place them in the trash for removal. Never give up. Never give in. Take your rightful place. Know that you have something unique inside of you that the church, the world, the community needs to hear. And they need to see it, and it must come out. Should you try to hold it in, I believe your soul will shout, "Never give up, never give in." take your rightful place. If your gifts go unused, the church, the community, the world will never ever be healthy or find its true voice. The sun won't shine as brilliant. The skies won't be as blue. The cosmos will be out of alignment because of you. You are God's choice. Take your rightful place. I'm not sure about you, but we can all draw a great conclusion that without young energy, laughter, timing, and purpose, church life, community life stands in need of a youthful transfusion. Young people, take your rightful place. You are the heroes of the church that must not become complacent, lazy, or distraught. For the world needs to see your God imprint as you lead with your strength, as you've been spiritually taught. You are emergent and exceptional. You are talented and tough-minded. You are beautiful and brilliant. You are the perfect promise, and indeed you are capable. Take your rightful place. My friends, when I got that down in my spirit, things began to change for me. That God's voice had to become greater than any voice I listened to. The voices that says you'll never amount to anything, you won't make it. And some of you've heard it even from your parents and family members. But let God's voice be the greatest voice in your life. Amen? We look at this story that was read in your hearing about Moses. We know that Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. He was adopted. Sometimes it brings its own issues. And as he's walking out and seeing someone mistreat one of his Hebrew people, he got into a fight and he killed him. He fled to Midian, and he was there for 40 years. And he goes up to this mountain, and there God spoke to him through a burning bush. God is about to change his life. God is about to set him on the stage of history. And Moses says, I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. Find somebody else. God is calling you. This is your time to make a difference in this community. Wherever you, this is your time. Are you with me? You see, Moses started thinking about his past, all the things that he had done, that he didn't do. He started thinking about what people would say. Started listening to those voices. We need to squash those voices. And listen to the voice of God. You know what God says? Give me your life, and I'll show you what I can do with it. I took a little shepherd boy named David, and I made him a king. Give me your life, and I'll show you what I can do with it. I took Daniel, and I turned him into a prayer warrior. Give me your life, and I'll show you what I can do. I took Moses, a murderer, and I turned him into a liberator. Give me your life, and I'll show you what I can do. How many of you are ready to give your life to him? Dr. King, whenever he went to universities, he would talk about street sweeper. If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music and Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all of the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be the pine on the top of the hill, then be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rail. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that we win or we fail. Be the best of whoever you are. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.